You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
You got to start somewhere. And if you're in sales or business or you're an entrepreneur and you want to be able to sell your idea, it's all sales. This is not just a product or a service. If you get a chance to go pitch some private equity people, that's selling. And if you're not good at it, you might not get a deal. You might not get an investor. You might not exit your company. So,
welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset. Learn and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points! Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. I am here with Steve Haru. Steve, what's up, brother? How are you today?
Long time no talk.
Long time no talk. If anyone doesn't know this, Steve, I've mentored with him, you know, his mastermind group. He is the owner of Victory Selling, founder, president of Victory Selling. You're a Vista speaker. You're the author of Sales is Not a Dirty Word. And the mastermind, kind of like the sales DNA test. I don't even know the word for it. You're just like the champion of the sales DNA. Let's get to know ourselves so we can be better for other people. But I want to give you a moment to introduce yourself. You know, who is Steve Haru?
Sure, man. Thanks, buddy. It's been wanting to get on here for a while, as you know, but things are busy. Luckily, humbly, we have a lot of folks that need, you know, our help. So glad we finally got to do this. But, you know, growing up in Boston in the Northeast, right, one state away from you, I didn't speak. I didn't talk. Got deathly afraid when it was time to give book reports. I mean, like not showing up to school, you know, from early age through high school, I didn't say a word. So no dates, no dances, no prom, nothing like that. I was only good at sports. That's it. And so I ended up getting to college and I went to a very expensive business school in Boston and realized that, you know, I'm about to bankrupt my parents. So I better get a job. And, my parents come from, you know, meager beginnings, right? My dad drove two trucks for the Globe and the Herald so I could have a better life. My mom was an administrative assistant, so I didn't have this like amazing upbringing, but it was amazing and life skills, right? And, you know, the school of hard knocks. So I wanted to contribute. So I ended up getting a job and the job turned out to be selling Cutco knives. So many of you listening on here have either sold Cutco or wanted to, but your parents told you you weren't doing it, like my dad. I ended up giving it a shot for some unknown reason. Stayed with Cutco all 4 years through college. My senior year was number one in the country selling Cutco knives. And then I, you know, did kind of what most people do when they go into, you know, the leadership roles, right? Your companies go, hey, you were marginally adequate at sales. Want to run a team of salespeople? So doesn't work, guys. Quarterbacks don't come out and play middle linebacker in the second half. Two different skill sets. So took me a while to learn that. I did that poorly for a little bit till I realized that not everybody was like me and that I should treat people the way they want to be treated, right? Not like I want to be treated, platinum rule stuff. So did that successfully. Then I left and went to the company with the duck, which is first, the last time I was in upstate New York, I was training all the Aflac people up there. So I spent 13 years with Aflac and somehow made it to number one in the country with them. 60,000 agents, I was the top guy. So coming from a kid that didn't speak, anybody can learn how to sell. But you got to possess three things: honesty, integrity, humility. If you have those three, you know, that's a good start. So that's how I got started.
Love it. Honesty, integrity, and humility. And by the way, I feel like Tom Brady would make a good middle linebacker. You never know. Probably did it. Would.
So yeah, we probably could.
So we.
He's a little slow though.
He'd be able to direct the team well.
That's true.
I don't know if he could make a tackle, but
yes.
So I want to unravel the onion a little bit in a moment, but we skipped a lot here. You went from hardly speaking to quiet to anxious and shy to number one in the country at Aflac.
Yeah.
What did you do that other people around you weren't doing?
Well, I mean, the first, you know, when I started selling Cutco knives, you know, I come from a family of one, right? And so usually, people will sell knives to their friends and family, right? And then they run out of people and then they stop selling them. I mean, that's, you know, everything really, right? Real estate knives, so on. So I realized very early on, you know, I better find some other people to sell to. So this is kind of where the whole referral thing came up and all the stuff I taught you guys, that's where it came from. So I just got really good at getting referrals. When I was 18 or 19, I wasn't going to go knock on doors or, you know, do all that pound the pavement stuff. It's not the smartest way to get business. So I would just get referrals, right, from all the people that bought knives from me. And, you know, one day it just happened by accident, but everybody wanted the vegetable peeler for some reason, which I still have, by the way. Everyone wanted that. So I started saying, hey, if you get the whole set, you know, which was $700, I'll give you the peeler for free. You know, like, which was, again, it's all about value, everybody. You got to find out what people really want and they'd be willing to pay for it or trade for it. So then I started saying, well, instead of giving them the peeler, I'm just going to ask them for referrals. In exchange for referrals, I'm going to give them the peeler.
Okay.
So I bought like 100 vegetable peelers, right, for like $2,000 or whatever, which is a lot of money for me at the time. But I would easily trade a $20 peeler for 10 referrals because I knew 8 of them were going to buy something, right? Those are my percentages. So that's when I started getting referrals. And then even sometimes, and this is in the old days, everybody, when we had these things called address books, right? They were like bound, you know, pieces of paper. But I would say, hey, Ben, yeah, I know you want that peeler. If you can do me a favor, if you can just jot down 100 names, just grab your address book, I'll just give it to you. And then some people were like, 100 names, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And then I'd say, okay, fine, just 20. So 20 is way less than 100, but zero is less than 20. And when you don't ask for referrals, you get zero. So I had a book of referrals. I mean, 20, 20, 25, 28, 22. I never ran out of business ever. And I think I had two or three people in my career over 6 years. I think two or three actually wrote down 100 people, which would keep me busy for 6 months. So that's how it started. I just kind of took that, put that into the Aflac world. And instead of trading peelers, I traded ducks. For referrals, because everybody wanted the duck for their kids, their dog, and so on. So I had a trunk full of ducks, thousands of dollars worth of ducks in my trunk, and that's what I would use. And that's a big part of how I got to number one in both companies.
I love this, Steve. I invite the listeners, think, what's my duck? What's my peeler? Why is it true as a sales trainer, have you experienced that people just don't ask for referrals? Is that really a fact?
Yeah, the math is quite interesting, but 91% of customers would willingly give referrals if they were asked. 11% of salespeople ask. Coincidentally, about 11% of salespeople make six figures consistently. So
definitely a correlation. You can figure that one out. Okay, so I want to ask for referrals. My listeners are across the board. They're real estate agents, they're finance, they're insurance, they're entrepreneurs, or they're just hungry to learn. How do I ask for referrals? Is there a right way to do it or a wrong way to do it?
There's not a wrong way. I mean, as long as you just ask, I mean, that's better than not, but there's a time to ask. See, most people ask, even if they ask, right, too soon. You haven't proven your value, right? Maybe they just signed a contract with you. Maybe they just started work with you. That's not the time to ask. You've got to prove your worth. Once you prove your worth to them and they feel like, wow, this has been amazing, then you ask. If you ask too soon, you won't get them. And it looks awkward. It looks like they're just another notch on your belt of sales, but you don't want to do that. So it's more the timing than what you say.
It's timing. I learned this way back, and let me just tell a really short story. I learned this when I was shy like you, and I was trying to learn how to talk to women and how to like be suave and fun and just get out of anxiety, right? And what I learned is, and think of this analogy, you go out on a date, do you kiss them the moment you meet them? You definitely don't kiss them the moment you meet them. Do you wait till you're both drunk and falling asleep on the couch to go in for the first kiss? Or do you kiss them on a high emotional moment when you're connecting and energy's high? I feel like a lot of people are asking for referrals the moment they made the introduction, or they're asking for it way late, bad time, busy time, rather than finding an emotional moment where they've provided value and the energy's high. Is it really that simple, just trying to find that emotional moment where it's the perfect time? Because people want to help, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're willing to help. And again, if you ask, you're the anomaly. Customers are almost shocked because they, you know, what's interesting is everybody wants to give their opinion, right? Everyone. That's why there's Yelp, you know? So when you ask people, right, to make a recommendation or to, and that's what we call it, right? We don't call it referrals. Okay? We call it recommendations because people want to recommend things. So it's language, it's timing, it's all of those things combined. And all the men and women that I know that are really super successful in sales, that's a huge part of their business. And we all know inbound, right, warm leads are better, way better. So it's fun when you get people. I have three meetings this week with referrals that I didn't ask for, right? So that's a whole nother level when people are like, hey, Mike, you got to meet Steve, you got to see what they've done for our team and so on, right? So that's even another level when you're providing such great service that people willingly give you referrals, introductions, and recommendations. But that's how you get to another level. Are you the person that people talk about when you leave in a good way, not in a bad way? Most salespeople are the person that gets talked about in a bad way.
And I want to get into sales is not a dirty word, but let's hone in on those big three. What was it? Honesty, integrity, humility.
Yes.
So that's why people are coming to you, because you're embodying these characteristics. So I want to talk a little bit about the problem and why people see sales as a dirty word, and then weave in kind of how you discovered these three main adjectives that you live by. So what is the issue with sales? Why do people have a bad feeling when they hear the word sales?
I mean, the perception of salespeople is pretty horrific, mostly caused by horrific salespeople. A lot of it has been exacerbated by this always be closing crap. You know, all these hardcore closer idiots, you know, that think that sales is about just closing everyone within 2 square feet of you. I mean, it's moronic. Nobody likes to be sold. Nobody likes the feeling of buyer's remorse. Nobody likes to feel like they got one over on them. And that's what salespeople continue to do today. And much of it is driven by their companies, much of it, because they're getting quotas shoved down their throats, which, you know, a quota is just this arbitrarily BS made up number by someone who've never set foot in the field. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. And coincidentally, about 3% of people are ready to buy today. Three. So 40% are just starting the process. They just want to get to know you, your company, what you can do to help them. 40% just starting. 56% are not buying. It doesn't matter. You could be selling $100 bills for dollar bills. 56% of people wouldn't buy. So if you understand that, you have to be patient, right? And that's why having the humility, right? And being honest with people and understanding that, hey, if you're not ready, man, you know, no problem. I'll plan on being on the planet, you know, for the next 40 years. So I'll be here. That's not how most people act. And that's why they struggle in sales, because they're trying too hard to sell stuff and people just aren't ready. So you got to be honest with people. You got to be a human being first. It's not that hard, everyone. But that's not what's being taught. And that's why people hate salespeople. Do you know Daniel Pink?
I know the name. I haven't read any of his work yet.
Okay. Yeah. He's pretty incredible. So I was in Harrisburg 2 weeks ago for Vistage, and this guy who runs the groups, he said, "Hey man, you work with Daniel Pink?" I go, "Who the hell's Daniel Pink?" He goes, "You don't work with him?" I go, "Who is he? I don't even know who he is." He goes, "You're him." I go, "What? How am I him?" He goes, "Half your slides are what he talks about." And I've like never even heard of the guy. So now I got all his books. And anyway, in one of his books, he does a study and he asks people, it's about 7,000 or 8,000 people, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think of sales or selling? And so he has this big word cloud. It's in his book, Drive. I think it's in Drive, but he's got a big word cloud. And the biggest word is pushy. Mm. You know, that's what people think about salespeople. And then it's smarmy, aggressive, arrogant, not trustworthy. I mean, it's pretty eye-opening. There's probably 20 negative words and 3 or 4 positive. So the perception of salespeople is terrible, and it will continue to be terrible because you got all these other trainers out there doing this always be closing crap. Or you got these felons from Wall Street, sorry, the Wolf of Wall Street, who's teaching people how he scammed hundreds of millions of dollars from unsuspecting investors. This is what people are still seeing. So that's what they think sales are about. These guys are getting hired. Convicted felons of wire fraud are being hired to train salespeople today. And you wonder why people hate salespeople.
It's funny because Jordan Belfort, right? Great vocal tonality. Doesn't mean he can teach ethics. Right? Doesn't mean he can teach humility. Doesn't mean he can teach growth. One thing that I found personally, Steve, working in a call center is it was sell, 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 sell. But it was my job to hunt and walk away and never actually establish a relationship. And when I left that role, I had no friends, no referrals, no book of business, and I had to start from scratch. So it seems like your way is something, it's the longer route. It's the marathon, right?
Yeah.
You think we need to be a little more patient and a little less about the money on my table today? What kind of results will I see? Go on.
Well, it's the same thing. If you think about wealth building, right? All the young people who don't save, right? Don't invest, don't put money in their 401k, don't. There's companies we match 401k, right? For all our people up to the maximum amount. There are companies that have matching 401k still today, which is free money. Like you put in 300 bucks, I give you 300. Here's money.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
They still don't do it. Why? Because of short-sightedness. Mm. And if anybody understands this concept in your 20s, if you just did that, you will be a millionaire, period, end of story, multiple millions when you retire, period. Why don't people do it? They still don't do it. Everybody wants short-term results, and you cannot have that attitude or mindset in sales. And if you do, maybe you'll hit your number, but you're going to have a long, lonely life, tell you that.
Long, long, lonely life. And I was feeling that way when, so I took your sales DNA test. I heard Steve on a podcast. He was talking about finding your sales DNA. And really, I'm all about optimization personally. and I love psychology. And I'm like, how can I be better long term? So I personally took this sales DNA because I wanted to be better long term. I wanted to better understand myself so I can utilize that as a weapon to better understand my clients and actually help people. And I want to talk about the sales DNA because a lot of my listeners are part of a large institution. And I know you train entire teams, but you could be like little old me and kind of just take it on the side as well. I want to put myself on the spot. So I was high in desire and commitment and higher in coachability. And that's part of why I wanted to work with you, Steve, because yeah. I think I'm great, but you've got something I don't. I want to be on board and learn from you. The things I was low in, though, were supportive buying cycle and need to be liked, and which was interesting. I had no buying cycle because I was cold calling people and trying to get them to buy on the spot. There was no buying cycle. There was no CRM. It was either they buy and you move on, or they don't buy and you follow up like four times a week the rest of their life. And then need to be liked. So coachable, desire, but bad buying cycle, need to be liked. Is this normal, or what are your thoughts on just my DNA in itself?
So we look at sales DNA, and if it's the first time you're hearing of it, there are a lot of assessments out there, right? There are probably 4,000, I don't know, a bunch of them that are out there. And most of them are psychological, behavioral, aptitudinal, attitudinal, cultural, but none of them have predictive validity when it comes to someone's ability to sell, which is why we use the sales DNA. If you're in sales, you should probably know your ability to sell, not what you're like at a party, not when you're somebody's plus one at the Bills game. Can you sell? Yeah. And so we've been using this tool, which has been in existence for 32 years, right? We've tested almost 2.2 million salespeople with 92% predictive validity. So we know it's accurate. But there's something that you mentioned, which is part of something called the will to sell. So we measure this competency called the will to sell, which deals with desire, commitment, motivation, responsibility, those types of things, right? So positive outlook. If somebody has a high will to sell, they can advance, right? They can get better. We can work with them, right? They'll get better. Because the skill sets and the stuff that lives upstairs, like you talked about, we can train that. You can't train desire. You can't train the will to win. You can't train that stuff. So what's great about DNA is we get to see who we want to work with. And of course, as a company, if you were testing all your salespeople, you'd want to know who had a strong will to sell and who didn't. And of course, coachability is a huge part, which you had a high coachability score. So when we
Steve, I scored 100, Steve, 100 in coachability.
I know. That's what's good. That's why you listened.
Yeah.
But in some companies, everybody listening, people don't have high coachability. And listen, I don't care what you do in life. You're a tennis star, you're a Broadway performer, right? You have coaches and you have to be coachable. If you think you know it all, you don't know anything. So we're measuring that aspect of it first. And then we measure two other things. Sales DNA, which are some of the things Ben mentioned we'll talk about, and then selling skills or selling competencies. So we measure hunting, we measure prospecting, we measure reaching decision makers, we measure consultative selling, we measure presentation approach. So we measure all aspects of what it takes to be successful in sales. And then what I built was the training to fix all of those hindrances. So it took me 18 months to build the training. That's the training Ben went through, where we have dedicated lessons to fix dedicated problems. And so it's funny, the ones that you mentioned, the two bigger ones we see are need to be liked and uncomfortable with money. So if we talk about the need to be liked first, about 86% of salespeople need to be liked. Okay, this is horrifically bad. About 100% of people on TikTok need to be liked. you know what I mean? Yeah. So sure. If you need to be liked as a salesperson, this will severely hinder your results because you won't ask deep, intrusive questions, right? Tough questions of your prospects to get them to think. You're just going to be their buddy and you had a good time at the bar, but they ain't buying. And so you have to get over this age old, you got to build rapport and you got to get them to like you. No. People don't buy because they like you. People buy because you provide massive amounts of value. And if you're great at providing massive amounts of value, people will buy. Now, the top 10% of men and women in sales, all the people that earn multiple six figures, they're likable. They're enjoyable to be around. They're not the 10X shitheads. These are normal people, but the difference between them and the bottom 90% is they don't give a shit what you think. Okay, they would rather have your respect than your undying adoration. And again, don't get me wrong, they're still likable. People still want to be around them, but they don't need that. They don't pine over being liked by everyone. And that's a very important trait in the successful. So that's a big one, right? 86% of the people we test have that. The other one is being comfortable discussing money. This is a huge hindrance, way bigger in entrepreneurs than it is for salespeople. But in salespeople, 60% of salespeople are uncomfortable discussing money, 60. And when we talk about this factor, you know, of money, the first thing has to do with discussing, right, pricing and budgeting and things like that. There are questions that are okay, and there are questions that are stupid to ask a prospect. And then there are questions that are intergalactically stupid. And the question is, what's your budget? It is the single most moronic thing that could come out of a salesperson's mouth.
I just asked that yesterday, Steve. Okay, I just asked that yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people have.
How many Americans have budgets? Low or high?
Budgets? Well,
yeah. How many Americans have a budget that they stick to?
Probably pretty darn low.
Yeah.
It's flying by the seat of their wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. Single digits. So they might even have a budget. And even if they do have one, they ain't sticking to it. Has anybody on this call, just ask yourself this podcast, ever bought something you weren't intending to buy?
Did they yesterday?
Okay. So, yeah. That's about the efficacy of budgets.
Yeah.
Meaningless. Second thing, what percentage of prospects lie?
Prospects lie.
Yeah. How many lie?
Probably a lot, but they're not intentional lies. It's just that you're not asking the right questions or listening. So they're giving you smoke screens is what I would assume.
Okay. So let's use that analogy. If you ask somebody how much money they want to pay you, what number do you think they're going to give you?
The lowest amount possible.
So that's the second reason it's intergalactically stupid. The third reason, you haven't even proven one iota of value to them. And you're asking them how much money they're willing to fork over. Listen, when you provide massive amounts of value, people will buy. And guess what will show up?
More people. More referrals?
No. What's that? Money. I cannot tell you how many times people have said, especially big companies, well, Steve, it's not in the training budget this year. You know, we don't have the budget for that. And I'll say, okay, Ben, let me ask you a question. So it is in the budget to have negative growth in sales for the last 4 quarters. That's in the budget.
I hope not.
It is in the budget to keep Tom on board, who's been here for 6 years, who hasn't hit any productivity goals, who you said is costing you money to keep employed, but his $160,000 base salary, that's in the budget.
But Tom's my cousin, Steve. Tom's my cousin.
How long is that in the budget for?
Hopefully not that long.
So listen, dude. We're either not the right company or fixing this sales problem isn't a priority. It's only one of those two. And I don't mind if you go with somebody else, but this problem will not fix itself, man. You called us. you wanted help to stop the bleeding in your sales team. And I shared with you three reasons, three huge reasons why you keep bleeding money. So either you don't think we're qualified to do it, or it's just not that big of a problem. You tell me, man. Can you have that conversation? And I promise you, you can't if you need to be liked. So if you need to be liked and you're uncomfortable discussing money, you have no shot, no shot to be a top performer in what you do. And the last part about discussing money or being comfortable with money is your own value of money. And this happens with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot. This is why they discount. Number one, their value of money is a little bit off kilter. The average American, do you know, Ben, how many Americans have less than $1,000 in savings right now?
More than half.
Yeah, it's about 59%. Okay. So if I have less than $1,000 in savings, $1,000 is a lot of money to me. If I'm trying to sell my product or service for $25,000 and somebody says, geez, Ben, that's a lot of money. If I think $1,000 is a lot of money, how much is 25?
Extra lot of money, double.
You will not be able to sell. And the second piece of this is what I learned from Brian Tracy. This is the most important, everybody. You will only ever earn within 10% of what you believe you are worth. You will only ever earn within 10% plus or minus of what you believe you're worth. This is why most people never become millionaires. And if you ask any successful man or woman on the planet and you say, Jennifer, fill this in. The first blank dollars was the hardest to earn. What's the number?
The first 100,000? 100,000?
No, million.
Million?
Because a lot of people earn 100,000. Almost nobody earns a million. Why? Because they don't believe they could be a millionaire. And talk to anybody. Y'all know people. Go ask them. Once they make the first million, the second million's easy. And then the third and the fifth and so on. But it all has to do with belief. This is the whole Roger Bannister thing, right? Doctors said the human body could not run a 4-minute mile. It couldn't be done. They said the human heart would explode. Then Roger Bannister ran a 4-minute mile, and then 60 something people ran a 4-minute mile the next year.
Wow, right.
How's that possible? Never been done before. Why? Because they believed they could do it. And so if you don't know you have these hindrances inside your sales DNA and you go, 40 years with them, how much do you think it's costing you in lost income?
Millions.
Lost sales, right? Lost relationships, all of the above. And that's just two, everyone. We measure 21. So this is why this tool is so valuable in every single client, whether it's individual or big companies. We don't train people unless they do sales DNA first. They cannot write a check big enough. It's not possible. Number one, it's not fair. And number two, we're not Nostradamus. How would I know how to help a company or a person if we don't know what the hindrances are? And how would you know? How would you know what to fix? So that's why we have to do DNA first. Then we can teach and train and coach effectively. But that's the polar opposite of every sales training company in the planet, right? They just want to teach you their magic scripts and their selling system, and blah, 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 right? It doesn't work, guys and gals.
How would someone take that sales DNA test?
So easy way, right? Just reach out to us. So you can just reach out, right, on Victory Selling, LinkedIn, my emails, right, steve@victoryselling.com. You can check out our site too, salesdnatest.com. We just put that up not too long ago. So that's got some more information on it. But I wish I'd have found it, 25 years ago. I'd be in a different place today if I had. I only found it 2 years ago. And so that's how we rebuilt everything, started from scratch, took 18 months to build the training around it, because I had never heard of anything like it. If I'd have known this stuff, man, I don't even know where we would be today.
It's incredible. And I'll tell everyone, listen, I don't just work with Steve. I love working with Steve, but it was specifically the sales DNA that kind of unraveled. It opened Pandora's box. It made me look at myself in a different way. And since then, I've invested 10x, 5x, literally probably about 20 times more than I did. Literally in the past year, I invested more money than I had in the first 20 years of my life, my career. I'm hesitating because I'm looking at the numbers and I'm just looking at where I was when I started the sales DNA, and not just like the money in my pocket, but the growth and understanding. Which
think about these, man. Okay. How much do people spend for this?
Oh, $1,000 every year or two. $1,000 for a phone. You had a phone pulling out. The audio listeners, phone, $1,000 or more per year.
So people will spend $1,000 on a phone. They don't even know how it functions, by the way, right? Most people couldn't tell you 85%, right, of what their phone could do, but they do it every year. Same person won't spend $1,000 on the DNA test, you know, to make the next 40 years profitable. So it's not like what we do is millions of dollars. It's $1,000, right? But it is investing in yourself. I cannot tell you how valuable it is and important. And Ben knows, again, it's multiple five figures, right? That I invest in me, my team, myself, my company, and so on. Multiple five figures annually. What do you think the ROI is? So you got to spend money on you. And it doesn't have to be this. Like Ben said, he has different coaches. I have multiple coaches, right? But you got to start somewhere. And if you're in sales or business or you're an entrepreneur and you want to be able to sell your idea, it's all sales. This is not just a product or a service. If you get a chance to go pitch some private equity people, that's selling. And if you're not good at it, you might not get a deal. You might not get an investor. You might not exit your company. So I wish every single person would do it. But again, I think I told you this a long time ago. This has kind of come up recently in a bunch of my talks where people say, well, how do you find the right people to work for? Well, here's how, everybody. You've heard the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Mm-hmm. We look for thirsty horses. That's it. Have you ever tried to pull a horse that doesn't want to move?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They will kick you.
Yeah. Worse, you get hurt.
Yeah.
So work with people who are willingly, right, giving you effort, that are self-motivated, that want to get better. Those are the people that do DNA. It's all the people that want the shortcuts, that want to go to the weekend events and spend $10,000 to walk on some fire, that think they're going to be rich on Tuesday. It doesn't work that way, everybody. It just doesn't.
Steve, I wish we could talk I wish we could do a full seminar. Take the DNA, guys. Do a little bit of homework yourself. So action step number one, that information's in the show notes. So as I'm talking right now, just scroll over to the show notes. If you're not driving, you could pull over, actually. I'd love if you pull. I've had people pull over when they're talking to me. That's capturing attention, right? So go to the show notes. Go to Victory Selling, message Steve and his team on LinkedIn. That's all in there. But let's give them a second action step that does take a little bit of effort, because I was having an emotional reaction thinking about need to be like and how I haven't reached my goals yet. And I know a lot of people listening haven't heard this stuff much yet, and they might be having an emotional reaction as well. And they're like, I want to take action now. I want to better myself. Even if I don't have money, I want to take action right now. What should be the first step to start doing that internal work to better yourself, so you're not the person that's needy and needs to be liked, and not the person that you are now? How do I level up? Where should I start?
You know, we talk about reading a lot, podcasts, these types of things. And, you know, personal growth is like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth, right?
Yes. Twice a day.
How many times a day are you supposed to brush your teeth?
You're supposed to, they say two.
Yeah, two times a day, right? Yeah. For how many minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. So no one's ever taken this bet with me, not one time. Let's see if you'll do it. I want you to stop brushing your teeth, like no more. And then November 12th, I want you to brush your teeth for 8 hours straight, one day. Then I want you to go to the dentist and tell me what she says.
Oh, dude, your gums would be shredded.
You have to treat personal growth with consistency, not intensity. How do most people treat personal growth? Brushing their teeth one day for 8 hours straight. Mm. Again, they go to some stupid event, spend $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, and then they think they're going to be rich on Tuesday. Sorry. Every day. And by the way, if all you did was read something new for 2 minutes a day, you'd be in an immensely different place in 6 months. But we recommend 15 minutes a day. So 15 minutes a day, reading, listening, watching YouTube, right? Personal growth stuff, okay? Not, you know, Netflix or Tiger King 2 or Ozark. You can watch all that stuff later. 15 minutes a day. You want to start growing personally? Invest in yourself. The average American's watching 5 to 6 hours a day of TV, Hulu, Netflix. 5 to 6 hours a day. 5 to 6. So study for 15 minutes, read for 15 minutes. You have 30 minutes, believe me. So you want to start improving, do that, right? That anybody can do. And by the way, it's free. You know, last time I checked, anybody could use Google or YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I love it, Steve. We're going to close with the rapid fire, short, sweet, fill in the blank, either or questions, just rapid fire, whatever comes to mind, no right or wrong answers. And I want to start with the topic we're on. If I were to, you know, listen to a podcast, read a book, give us two or three recommendations of people you learn from that I could learn from as well.
Yeah. So Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, right? Number one, probably, you know, he has been an amazing mentor for me, passed away, 10 years ago. And then Tom Bilyeu with Impact Theory, by far, I think, has been a life-changing, you know, podcast for me to listen to.
We're going to go to cats or dogs?
All animals.
All animals.
Equal love.
Mm. What about beer or wine or tea? What's your favorite beverage?
It's funny. Also, I also drink both. I don't know anything about wine. I like it, though. I like dark beer, so give me a stout. I just had some when I was stuck in Phoenix at a really cool brewery. So that's it's a beer, it's a stout, right? Or porters. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, well, you're from Boston, right? You guys have some great beer. You guys have some great beer in New England.
They do. And it's growing everywhere. Every city now has 47 microbreweries. So It's fun. When I get to travel, that's usually where I end up.
I love it. I love it. Favorite athlete and why?
It's got to be Brady. I mean, it's not, you know, the main reason is mental toughness, you know, not because of the wins or the losses or the rings or any of that stuff. I mean, it's just the focus and the discipline and the mental toughness of that guy who had one chance, right? If Bledsoe doesn't get destroyed by Mo Lewis, okay, if he doesn't get knocked out, there would never be a Tom Brady. So he got one chance because of an injury and took advantage of it. And now he's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. Steve, your time is tremendously valuable. I know this.
Thanks, the listeners,
they understand it as well. One more time, how do we keep in touch? How do we follow you? How do we spread the love?
So LinkedIn, you know, we're both on there, of course, right? Instagram, T-H-E, Steve Haru. You want to check us out on Victory Selling. That's cool, too. And again, I appreciate you having me on here. Any chance we get to help you know, teach and train and impact, right, young salespeople, even older ones, right, that may have been taught this always be closing crap. We always like that opportunity to share that you can just be a normal human being and be quite successful.
Reach out to Steve and his team, guys, or reach out to me and I'll make the introduction for you. Steve, again, brother, man, thanks for coming.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.